Interest rates in America this morning sent out a warning signal about an economic slowdown to come. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. A surge in the buying of bonds today amid fears about the global economy has skewed interest rates in a way that can signal bad things to come. The condition is called an inverted yield curve, and if you compare 2-year and 10-year interest rates, for a time today, the 10-year was lower than the 2-year, when you'd expect the bonds that mature years later would offer higher rates if things were healthy. To help us with this, let's go live to Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors in Chicago. Hi, Susan.
Good morning.
So prompting this condition with interest rates is really bad economic news from two powerhouses of the world economy, Germany and China. What happened in Germany?
Well, Germany put out some economic data, and unfortunately, it's following a negative trend that we've seen, and that's what investors are really worried about. Germany, one of the economic powerhouses within Europe, seems to be softening. So their GDP contracted again, and this is the third or fourth negative data point that we've seen for Germany overall. Investors are getting worried that Germany, which has carried Europe on its shoulders coming out of everything in this recovery and really trying to bet on Germany as pulling Europe along, might be softening, and that's a bad omen.
All right, contraction in Germany, not helping the outlook for the global economy. Word that unemployment in Chinese cities reached the highest level since they started measuring this. So why does that affect the yield curve, and how serious of a sign is that to you?
Well, we had bad economic data out of China as well. So we have high unemployment, industrial production, and retail sales in China were both lower than what was expected. So now we have softening on both sides of the country. We have look across the Atlantic, look across the Pacific. Our two major trading partners don't seem to be doing that well. I think that impacts the yield curve because people are looking forward and saying things might be getting worse, not better. So we're seeing a change in the 10-year rate, and that 10-year rate is coming down because prices and interest rates move inversely. People are seeking safety. They're willing to pay more and get less for that longer-term treasury so that they can feel that they're safe and at least their money's tucked away out of this economic problem.
Susan Schmidt watches markets and makes investment decisions at Aviva Investors in Chicago. Thank you. Now to the $30 billion merger turning CBS and Viacom into Viacom CBS. One word. In the last four decades, these media heavyweights were split apart twice before, but now they're getting remarried. Where does this company go from here? Let's turn to Professor Eric Gordon, a mergers and acquisitions expert at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Welcome back, Eric.
Hello, David.
Wow. CBS plus Viacom has some competition here. First of all, there's Fox Disney, formidable competitor, AT&T, Time Warner, and there's more, right?
NBC, Universal, Netflix, and think about this. How would you like to compete with Apple? If you look at the competitive set, some of them have a mountain of content, and Apple has a mountain of money. So who do you want to compete with? You really don't want to compete with any of them, but you have to compete with all of them.
All of them. They have some content, CBS, Viacom.
Yeah, they're not bad. I mean, 140,000 episodes of TV shows, 3,600 movies, and, you know, they have MTV and Comedy Central and BET, so they don't have nothing, but they're still one of the smaller players.
Look, I get the tectonic plates shifting here. We used to buy cable TV. It would come with a quadrillion channels, and we'd pay that per month. Now we sign up for each of these individual streaming services, but aren't these big media companies worried that there'll be a saturation point?
You know, we'll probably pay for one entertainment one and one or two sports ones, but they're not all going to survive. So they're all going to scramble, and they're going to combine because each of them wants to be one of the few survivors.
Eric Gordon is a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Always good to talk to you, sir.
My pleasure, David.
Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba set to report sales and profits tomorrow. Yes, the trade war will play out in these results, and the company has been bringing more retailers into its ecosystem. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
Alibaba rolled out an open operating system for brick-and-mortar stores and supermarket chains across China earlier this week. The goal?
They want the experience for consumers to be the same, whether online or in a store.
Gil Luria is director of research at D.A. Davidson. He says that means consumers can pick up something they ordered online or buy something online after they see it in a store. But it turns out that it's more expensive to run stores than it is to run a website.
What it means for their business right now is much lower margins.
Syed Tariq Anwar, an economist at West Texas A&M University, says for Alibaba, this is about the long play.
Because the main thing in China is happening is consumption.
He says the difficulty for Chinese companies right now is the trade dispute between their country and the United States, and it affects technology companies more than most.
This is not really a trade war. It's a technology war between the United States and China.
He says the key for Alibaba is to position itself to capture future market share when 5G and AI become a reality. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And Facebook has acknowledged a Bloomberg News report that it had outside contractors monitor the contents of some audio conversations that can be carried out on Facebook Messenger. These were humans monitoring, not software systems. The company has now stopped the practice, said to be a quality control measure. Apple and Google had previously stopped this kind of monitoring. Officials today in the European Union asked Facebook for more information about this. Regulators in other countries may also have questions. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.